Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are going in depth today with Kristen Moe. She is the Navigation Manager for the Corps of Engineers St. Paul District, and we in particular are going to talk about Lock and Dam Number 2, which is near and dear to our hearts in Hastings. Kristen, how have you been? The last time we spoke was last fall, and the season was kind of coming to an end. So I know you've had a very, very busy, quote-unquote, off-season, but how was your winter?
The winter, it just flew right by, as I think it did for most, with this nice weather. It's been a bit unusual. And actually, as you stated, the off-season is usually quite busy for us. But it was good to have this nice weather because it kind of allows, it takes a little less impact on our construction workers out there who are working year-round in the cold weather.
Well, you know, Lock and Dam Number 2 went through a huge, what was it, a restoration project, or how would you describe it? Would you back up to last fall what you started and then give us a play-by-play of how it all went?
Yeah, sure. So this winter at Lock and Dam 2, we had what we call a winter dewatering for inspection and maintenance. And what that allows us to do is, you know, we take all of the water out of the chamber, we pump it out, and then that gives us a good look inside that chamber where we can kind of inspect and make sure that there's no major, you know, deficiencies or issues within the chamber itself, and then the associated, you know, components like the miter gates, the valves that let water in and out of the chamber, all that concrete that's making up the lock itself. So yeah, so this last fall when we talked, we were just getting started. I believe we had just installed our bulkheads and took the water out of the chamber. And since then, like I said, we've done a lot of inspection and we've demoed a lot of concrete and repaired it and just kind of rehabbed in general some of those components that make up the lock.
Kristen, how often does a big project like that happen for each lock? Mm-hmm. And you know, are they on a regular cycle, or how do you know mm-hmm. when it's time to inspect?
Yeah, for the Upper Miss River, we target about every 20 years to do that major dewatering and inspection. And like I said, you know, the primary purpose is to inspect, just make sure there's nothing critical going on with the lock. But we use that time because we do have winter ice conditions on the Upper Mississippi River. We have, you know, a period of several months where we can do a little additional maintenance. Because there's no traffic that we're stopping, right? So we definitely take full advantage of that. And typically, every 20 years from early December to early March, we'll dewater the lock.
And I have to tell you, that was really something. I know it drew a lot of visitors to your observation deck, which typically people wouldn't necessarily go there in the middle of winter. But that mm-hmm. process itself was so fascinating. The fact that you cleared out all the water. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely a process, just pumping down, you know, the chamber. We have to first, you know, install bulkheads on the lower end, and then we move on to the upper end, and then putting in several large pumps, like 8-inch diameter pumps, to remove the water from the chamber over a course of several days. And we do actually pump it down pretty slowly, because we need to monitor the stability of the lock walls and the surrounding ground, just to make sure that there's no, you know, movement that we would be, you know, worrying about, say, collapsing the chamber or something, you know, drastic like that.
So when you did dewater the whole lock and dam, did you find anything that was alarming, or was it as normal wear and tear as you mm-hmm. sort of thought it would be?
That's a really great question. So at Lock 2, we're fortunate in that we have some newer miter gates. We just installed those a few years ago, and that's usually a large part of our work is just rehabbing those gates. We did not have to do that at Lock 2 this year, so that saved a lot of time there. But what we did find that was alarming and unexpected was underneath the lock chamber, there is a tunnel, and that's where all of the electrical cables that feed the dam. They run under the lock and then they go over and they feed the dam. And so we found that there was some cracks in that concrete and it was allowing sediment to come into those tunnels. So it was pulling like the cable trays off the wall. It was actually quite amazing to see the pictures of it down there. So what we had to do was we had to get sort of an urgent action underway to pump out that sediment and repair those cracks in the concrete. So that was certainly unexpected, and it had the potential to set us back as far as our schedule. But we had a great team that worked on it, and we were able to get all that sediment pumped out and get those cracks repaired and get the cables put back on the wall. So it turned out pretty well.
What a blessing then that you actually did that dewatering and found that out.
Absolutely. As you can imagine, that would be a pretty significant failure if we were to lose that power to the dam.
It gives you a lot of respect, doesn't it, for the power of the river. And as you mentioned, the sediment, the whole piece of nature, I think, is we just forget about the magnificence of nature.
Absolutely. It's very powerful. And I think, you know, one of the things we're used to dealing with on the river is sediment. Usually, you know, this time of year, the river is typically much higher than it is, and it's moving a lot of sediment. And then once that sediment falls out, then we also must, you know, monitor and, you know, potentially remove, dredge that sediment from areas of the channel. So, yeah, it's definitely something that we're used to observing and dealing, responding to every year.
So can you actually see that the river is lower than usual because of our lack of precipitation?
Well, it's a little bit, you know, up in this stretch of the river where we have locks and dams in place, we're not really seeing the effects of the low water as much as they are on the lower part of the Mississippi River. These locks and dams are specifically navigation locks and dams, you know, put in specifically to hold a certain elevation of water. So up here, it's not showing the effects as much as below St. Louis, where there is no locks and dams. But normally this time of year, we do have larger volumes of water coming through, as you know, from snowmelt, from rain events, mostly from snowmelt. And those kind of pulses of water introduce a lot of sediment into the system, normally from tributaries like the Minnesota River or the Chippewa River. And that's usually, those big events move a lot of sediment.
So this year obviously was a very mild winter, and I'm just curious, I know that you were in charge of all of the St. Paul District. Did the Mississippi freeze this year up in this part of our world?
Actually, yes, it did, but it was for quite a brief period of time. Those of us that live along the river could kind of see it, the ice forming and receding and over the period of a few months here. Normally, we look at Lake Pepin near Lake City, Minnesota, as an indicator of ice on the upper Mississippi River. That stretch, it's the deepest stretch on this part of the river. And so the ice usually forms, you know, to a greater depth on Lake Pepin. So we usually monitor that pretty closely. And then in February, March timeframe, we actually start taking surveys so that we can give an indication to the towing industry of when the river is going to open up. And this year, we actually did not do any ice surveys of Lake Pepin because there just wasn't enough ice. In this, you know, the towing industry was telling us that they're not concerned with the depth of ice on Lake Pepin. So this was probably the first year in many, many decades when we did not do ice surveys. Just there wasn't enough ice to warrant it.
The first tow actually has come through the Hastings area. And was it earlier than usual or?
Actually, it was about average. And the reason it was average was simply because we had construction going on at several of our locks through mid-March. So locks 3 and 7, they were actually closed for construction through March 15th. We had some guide wall crib repairs that we were doing at those sites. And the guide walls are basically the structures that kind of lead into the lock chamber. So the towing industry, they could not get their vessels up here until after 15 March. So that's about average, mid-March or so. You know, if we did not have that construction going on, certainly we would have seen an earlier season. But there was also a railroad bridge that was closed further south from us. So there was a few different projects going on that did not allow that early season.
When you say that you are in contact with the tow companies, if they're able to get a tow going, is that a benefit for their industry? And what do they do in the off season? Do they use trains then to get their commodities going, or how does that all work?
Yeah, so certainly, I mean, it's definitely a benefit for the towing companies, for the Midwest as a whole. What they're moving is commodities that come out of into the Midwest or come out of the Midwest. So I think the earlier we can start the movement of those materials, the better for everyone, the economy, the companies, et cetera. We definitely do work closely with them. We do not want to have unnecessary closures of the river because that impacts our customers. But during the off season, I think, you know, when normally the river is frozen, they stay down south, the vessels, the barges, and, you know, they're either moving down south on the waterways that are open, or, you know, they're focused on maintenance. There's a lot of different activities that could be happening at that time.
So this year, you mentioned that it was kind of the same timing for the first tow coming through. What was the first tow filled with? Do you know?
I want to say it was fertilizer. Normally in the springtime, we see first tows coming north. We'll bring things like fertilizer, which makes a lot of sense for our area. That's necessary for, you know, the agricultural field. They'll also start bringing up empty barges so that they can be filled, you know, with corn or soybeans or whatever we have up here. And then, you know, they move back south. So that's typically what we see. We might see like concrete in the spring. I've definitely been seeing a lot of oil tows coming north. So it's been a combination of items coming north along with the empty barges that need to be filled up.
And that must be really fascinating for you. You probably get to know the different vessels and that type of thing, the people that are on them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's probably more true for our lock staff who are actually operating the lock. They start to see these individuals routinely throughout the season. They get to know everyone. They get to know the captains, and they start to have good relationships. Definitely a lot of the same vessels that keep returning year after year. So yeah, it's good to see that.
And in a typical ride from, let's say, St. Paul down to the Gulf, what would that be? Is that a week? Is it 2 weeks? How long would it take a tow? And then is going back up the river, is that faster or slower?
Well, I mean, as you can imagine, going downstream is certainly just having the movement of the water with you would certainly be quicker. It's always easier to move with the current than it is to move against it. You know, normally once they enter our district in Lock 10 in Guttenberg, Iowa, it's, you know, about 2 to 3 days to get up to Hastings. So definitely, you know, going back down, we monitor it mainly through from St. Louis to St. Paul. So yes, that's usually a good week trip one way. And that's, you know, a lot of locks. You know, there's a couple dozen locks in there, and you know, it takes 1.5 to 2 hours just to get through one lock. So you can imagine they're making a lot of lockages during that time.
And what were your 2023 season numbers like?
Yes, looking specifically at lock 2, our tonnage was right about 5.8 million tons. And like I said, our highest commodities are usually the corn and soybean that are leaving the Twin Cities area. And then some of the others are our petroleum, asphalt, concrete, crude materials. And then also Lock 2 is a rather high-use recreation lock. So we have a lot of rec boaters of coming through Lock 2. So we had about 2,600 rec vessels that were locked through in 2023 in Hastings.
Yeah, that's a
that's
lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yes. Looking ahead for the 2024 season, what is your focus or what is your mission for this coming year?
For this coming year, we want to make sure that our locks and dams are 100% operational for our users, both our recreation users and our commercial towing vessels. That's first and foremost, making those locks available. We're hopeful, fingers crossed, that we won't get any significant rainfall and won't have to deal with floods. And if that's the case, that would also bode well for our dredging mission. We must maintain a 9-foot navigation channel within the district, at least 9 foot of depth. And if we don't have those ebbs and flows of water, we're hoping that we can get focused on our dredging and maybe do some sort of backlog dredging in areas where the channel may have been a little more constricted because, you know, we've been working hard on priority dredging. See, another project we have going on this summer is we're going to be replacing our miter gates at Lock and Dam 10 in Guttenberg, Iowa. So we have new miter gates coming. They're the same design that we have there at Lock 2. So August, September timeframe, we'll have a couple very large cranes at Lock 10, and we'll be working with our sister district, Rock Island District, at installing those miter gates there. Another project that we have is we're putting in a protective end cell, we call it, at Lock 4 in Alma, Wisconsin. That's on the lower end of the lock. A lot of times when boats are coming into the lock, they inadvertently make some contact with the guide wall, or they may, while they're exiting the lock, they may be pushing water towards that wall. So it becomes a little bit unstable. And what we're doing at Lock 4 is taking off that last portion of wall and putting in a new concrete structure that'll be much stronger and be able to withstand those impacts. So we have that project going on as well. So that's what we're focused on this coming season. Also, we have a dredge get, a hydraulic dredge that's just starting the season down in St. Louis, and they'll be working their way back home to St. Paul District. And we expect to see them probably by the June, July timeframe. So our focus is getting their maintenance wrapped up for the winter and getting them into operation as well this spring.
The horrific bridge collapse in Maryland just shows us and reminds us how important it is for these cargo ships to have the access that they need. And that really is a tough job, isn't it? Because you cannot stop on a dime. You can't turn on a dime. What can you say about the drivers that you see on the Mississippi River?
Yeah, so first and foremost, those pilots of the vessels must be respected. They're extremely skilled. They have a high level of training. But we need to give those towing vessels adequate space to move and to stop in. Like you said, they can't stop on a dime, and they certainly cannot maneuver very well. You know, you might give a semi a little extra space on the highway when they're making turns. You just don't want to be in their way. So I definitely caution, especially our wreck boaters out there, is just give them space. Make sure that you're not kind of in their way, that they can see you. That's another thing, is they don't have near the visibility around the barges that one would think. So you want to make sure that you're in a position where they can see you at all times. So yeah, just stay safe, respect others on the water.
Kristen, always so great to get caught up with you and what goes on in the St. Paul District, and we really appreciate your time. Kristen Moe is the navigation manager for the Corps of Engineers St. Paul District, and Lock and Dam number 2 is part of that district, and it's always so fun this time of year to see more action on the river. So thank you again for your time, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.